Welcome to the Wednesday, January 5th edition of the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster, taking you to the midway point of our inaugural week of the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and 24/7 on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Coming up, we are jam-packed on the program today. We have an economic forecast, newsmaker interviews with Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, Congressman Raul Grijalva will be with us, and Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. We get right into the economic forecast. In studio with us, Marshall Vest, economic forecaster at the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona. Also with us, Dr. Gerald Swanson. He is the Thomas R. Brown Chair in Economic Education, also at Eller College. He's won numerous top teaching awards at the UA, and he's author of America the Broke and Bankruptcy 1995. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good morning,
Happy
Bill.
New Year. Good morning, Bill.
It's great to see you guys. Newsweek recently identified, Marshall Vest, Texas, Utah, Oklahoma, and Iowa as states that are enjoying an economic revival. What needs to happen for Arizona to get back in the economic game?
Well, Bill, Arizona is late, actually, lagging behind the nation. Our economy is bouncing along the bottom as 2010 came to an end. And we have some significant problems with housing still, with high foreclosures and high unemployment rates as well. We also have a public sector that is going to have trouble balancing budgets and will be cutting public sector spending. That's about 15% of the economy, and that's happening not only at the state level, but at the local level as well. So housing and public sector spending will be drags on the economy during 2011, even as the national economy actually picks up steam and looks pretty good. In fact, the recovery will come to an end here in the first quarter nationwide. The recovery will come to an end and the expansion will begin. That means that the national economy will have recovered all of the ground that it lost. And so with that as a backdrop, Arizona will follow along. It's just going to lag behind a bit.
Let's talk now with Professor Swanson. How do you see the national economy? Do you agree with Marshall about the assessment that the economic downturn seems to be coming to an end?
Yes, I do. I think we see investment picking up. Businesses have huge amounts of cash. And when I say huge, I mean $2 trillion sitting on the side that they're waiting to invest. They need some clearer policy signals from Washington so they know what their tax liabilities are going to be, what kind of investment tax credits might come out. I think we see the consumer now starting to spend a little more. They're getting more optimistic, although they're still below normal. And we see exports picking up. So all the sectors are starting to move. It's just they're going to move a lot slower than I think people would like them to.
Professor Swanson, what about economic growth and inflation and interest rates and even the dollar? How will all of those impact our national economy?
Well, the growth obviously will help in terms of, as Marshall mentioned, getting us back to where we were before the recession started in 2007. Inflation is not a concern. There's a huge amount of excess capacity out there right now. We're underutilizing our manufacturing sector. We have a huge number of workers that are standing on the sidelines waiting to see the unemployment rate pick up. The employment rate pick up. So inflation isn't a concern. The weaker dollar could help us in terms of making our exports less expensive to other countries. So we have a lot of ducks in order that should make the economy start to come out of this longest recession since the Great Depression.
Marshall Vest, we know Arizona's lost hundreds of thousands of jobs during this downturn. Which sectors of the economy will provide the most promise for replacing some of those thousands of jobs?
Bill. Statewide, we lost about 300,000 jobs. In Tucson, it was more like 27,000 during the recession. And that was about one in every nine jobs disappeared. Just quite a calamity. We've never seen anything like that. The one sector that's been growing, of course, is healthcare. Even though it's growing more slowly, it continues to grow. And I think we'll see an uptick in trade as we go forward, as consumers start to spend. Leisure and hospitality is set to move higher as well. Manufacturing is still lagging behind, and of course the public sector is still lagging behind as well. But and in addition, on the positive side, we'll see some growth in professional and business services. It's going to be slow, Bill, but I think as we go through 2011, we will we'll see the economy gain some momentum once again.
A quick follow-up about the public sector, and we'll be speaking with Governor Brewer in a few minutes here. How do you cut your way out of this? We've talked about this before, Marshall, that the Arizona economy still, what, over, could be as much as $2 billion in the red. Where do you cut?
Current year, the deficit is $825 million. Next year, it's $1.4 billion. Then you're looking at $2 billion. For as far as the eye can see, there's still a small amount of money that can be swept from funds. The state can sell off some more buildings. We can probably get through to the end of June. But then I think you're looking at some really large cuts. The state really only does three things nowadays. There's no fat left, obviously. The state does three things. We educate, we medicate, and we incarcerate. 87% of the budget is in one of those three areas.
There's not much left, is there, after
that?
No.
And so I think you're going to see big cuts in education and Medicare.
And the universities?
Yes. The universities are part of education. It's K-12 and the universities. And that's really there's really no option.
Okay, let's bring Professor Gerald Swanson back into the mix here, talking about the housing market. Nationally, does it look like the housing market has bottomed out?
It's iffy. It's close to bottoming out. There's what they call the shadow default market. Banks are holding a lot of houses off the market because they don't want to sell them at such reduced prices and then have to make up for that on their balance sheets. So we have not reached any type of bottom equilibrium in housing yet. It still has a ways to go. Some sectors of the economy are doing well, but as Marshall mentioned, the Southwest, Arizona, and Tucson are still out of equilibrium.
What can Arizona do, Gerald Swanson, to get back into the national picture? As far as Marshall had mentioned, some of the areas, weigh in on what you see, what we need to do to get this economy on track here.
Well, I really think that one of the most valuable resources in the state are our universities, and we need to really focus on transferring the wonderful technology and medical innovations that are existing at the university in optical sciences and biosciences and other key areas. We're very good at that, but we've been very slow in taking these to market, and I think we need to concentrate more on that. Because tourism and retirement growth coming from the Northwest net is not going to carry us forward.
Marshall Vest, what about the economic picture as far as the jobless rate? Have we hit the bottom there, and what's your forecast for 2011 as far as unemployment in this state?
Well, the unemployment rate here in Metro Tucson stands at 8.5%, and it's a percentage point higher statewide. The unemployment rate has been stuck at that level now for several months and could even move higher as the economy begins to grow once again, because so many discouraged workers are going to reenter the labor force and be counted once again as unemployed. So, Metro Tucson, there's about 45,000 workers who are looking for jobs. That's actually a plus from an economic development standpoint. There's a lot of labor force available for growth.
Is construction coming back at all, Marshall?
No. Housing is bouncing along the bottom. There's really no construction going on in commercial sectors. Of course, we're doing a lot with streets and highways, but that's about all that's left. Construction employment currently is the lowest level that we've seen since 1983, less than half the peak that we saw just three or four years ago.
Gerald Swanson, you wrote a best-selling book about this country being bankrupt. Is there concern about deflation?
Yes, there's one of the reasons that the Fed is pumping so much money into the economy is there is a fear of deflation. In the realm of economics, we do not have good tools to cure deflation. When prices start to fall, profits start to fall, wages start to fall, and there's no magic wand that says, let's push them up. I think what we also are concerned about is that the size of the growing deficit and the national debt right now. Right now, only 17% of our federal budget is discretionary spending. All the rest are the mandatory spending and national defense. We can't write the federal budget unless we start to tackle these mandatory spendings.
Okay, Gerald Swanson and Marshall Vest, thank you very much. We'll be hearing what Governor Brewer has to say about the economy coming up in a few seconds. This is The Buckmaster Show on KJLL and on buckmastershow.com.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and we are pleased to welcome to the Buckmaster Show the Governor of the State of Arizona, Jan Brewer. Congratulations, Governor Brewer, on your inauguration this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Nice to be on your program with you today.
Thank you so much. We just heard from Marshall Vest, the University of Arizona economic forecaster, with us in studio just a few moments before we began this interview with you, talking about looking at the red ink picture. He's putting it about $2.4 billion over the next 18 months. Is that kind of your handle on it?
Well, he's probably pretty close. We're hoping that it's not that large, but he's probably pretty close, at least $2 billion.
How are you going to, you and your colleagues in Phoenix and the state lawmakers, how are you going to get us out of this situation?
Well, we certainly are moving in that direction, and next Monday I will be giving my State of the State, and there will be some insight into that whole picture. But obviously we're going to have to work to make sure that we're more efficient and that government is more frugal and less wasteful, and we're going to have to do some cutting. The big issue that we're facing, of course, is the Obama health care mandate that he has imposed upon all states in the United States, and we simply cannot afford what he wants us to do here in Arizona. He blew $1 billion in our budget, and I am trying to be in communication. I am in communications with the federal government and the president, and certainly Secretary Sebelius. requesting some relief, some flexibility, because Arizona provides a much healthier Medicaid program here in Arizona, which we call our access program, than most states. And we just can't sustain it. We simply don't have the money. So I think that you probably understand, and that the listeners understand, that Arizona has joined with 19 other states to try to win the battle over Obama health care. The suit's been filed in Florida, and we feel very positive about it. But we're hoping that we can move quicker than the courts can, and have the federal government give us some more flexibility, and that's going to help us tremendously. Then we're going to have to pick the direction and the areas of where we can still continue to hone down. You know, I worked really hard the last 2 years to protect public safety, my number one priority, and education, by going to the voters, asking them to approve a 1 cent temporary sales tax to protect education. And so I'm going to try my best, certainly to protect our kids, certainly in lower grades.
In your remarks after being sworn in as Arizona's governor for 4 years on Monday, you talked about inheriting a state that was, in your words, sinking fast.
Right.
How much blame do you put on the former governor and now the head of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano?
Well, she certainly was the captain of the ship, but, I mean, the blame is not entirely hers. The bottom line is that when times were good, they were expanding programs. They were spending money like, if we're going to be in the nautical scene, like drunken sailors. And, you know, they even spent the rainy day fund, and it wasn't even raining. You know, we're going to have to go in, and we're going to have to try to do something to ensure that that never, ever happens again. You know, it's inherently something that people do. If you have a lot of money, you spend more money. But in government, you can't do that, because we know that it's cyclical and that we need to have that rainy day fund there for those rainy days. And so the money was gone. We had a rainy day need bigger than we could have ever imagined with the overspending, and then with the real estate bust that we were not prepared for. And I inherited that. And, you know, it's not simply her problem, but she was the captain of the ship. And you know what they say, I've learned real quick in the last 2 years, the buck stops here.
You know, Arizona State Representative Steve Farley, a Democrat from Tucson here who will be with us on our show on Friday, says not funding transplants in Arizona is an immoral choice. You've gotten a lot of heat over this. What is your position as of right now on that?
Well, I think Representative Farley's comment questioning my morality is a little bit over the top. You know, I have asked the minority, the Democrats in the legislature, to bring me a plan. You know, stop talking about, you know, fraud and abuse and waste in government. Those
and
are just
words. And death panels?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just been horrendous. We've got issues. We need solutions. We just don't need the minority out there taking pot shots. Bring me solutions. Bring me something that works. None of them have done that, including Mr. Farley. And I'm hopeful, and I want them to know, and I've said it openly and publicly, that if they've got a plan that they can bring to me, I certainly would welcome it with open arms, but they have not done that. What they have did is just simply stand out there and shout from the ground, this is bad, this is bad. Of course it's bad. You know, we all realize that we have compassion for people out there. This is something that was vetted, of course, and went through the legislature, and was determined that you know, it's just something that we just simply can't afford. And it's not all transplants. It's those transplants that was presented to the legislature that had not really been documented as having great success. But it's no different, Bill, than your own budget. You know, you have to make cuts, and you have to do it where you can. And there's only certain areas of which government can be cut because of the mandates by the federal government and the mandates by the voters. And so that just leaves those targeted items that we can address, and you have to go where the money is.
Okay, I'm going to open up our Buckmaster Live line. We may be able to get a quick call in for you, Governor. It's 529-3508. While we're waiting for a call, this battle has begun in Washington over who is actually a citizen. Is that going to be a distraction for this legislature? I'm speaking about State Senate President-elect Russell Pierce, who's working with counterparts.
Oh, are you talking to me, or are you talking about your call?
Oh, I haven't taken a call.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying we could take a quick call if someone wanted to get a quick question in for you. But while we're waiting for that call, I wanted to ask you about the citizenship battle.
Well, there has certainly been a lot of talk about that, not only here in Arizona, but certainly throughout the United States and at the federal level. And I will be no one really has talked to me or my staff in depth in regards to what they want to do, but I understand that they're going, I guess, to Washington, D.C. on the 5th, it's today the 5th, and make a presentation at a news conference back there and regarding that. So it'll be interesting to hear the debate, and I don't have enough information on it that I have made a decision of where I am in that situation at this current time.
But you would be disappointed, I would assume, if this were a big distraction at the legislature. Is that safe to assume?
Well, we certainly need, we have a big fish to fry on our plate, and the number one issue, of course, is our budget, our priority, and job creation.
And the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at ASU is out with a report just today that efforts in recent years to paper over the budget deficits have compounded the gap between spending and revenue, otherwise known as the structural deficit.
Right. And, I don't have any disagreement with that.
Governor,
it's been going on for years, and it's something that we are going to work very diligently on, and I pledge to the people of Arizona in the next 4 years we're going to tackle it.
Okay.
We're going to get rid of it and leave the people of Arizona a great state.
Let's sneak in a call, Governor. Let's see what we have here. Okay.
Good morning, Governor.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, this is Elmo Simeon, and I would just ask you a question, Madam Governor, that as an employee of the state, which ended in retirement in 93, and it was a
quickly, sir. What is your
point?
Yeah,
it was a sickness or disabled that was done. So I had 14 years, and actually. That cut me off when my old age. I'm now 67, so I was wondering if that could be rectified to 20 years due to it was a service connect on the job injury.
Governor, you want to take a quick stab at that?
I apologize. I don't quite understand. It was a workman comp issue.
Yeah, workman
that you're dealing with, and of course that's all set by statute. So the statute would have to be changed by the legislature to make that correction if they believe that it should be done.
Governor, what will be your number one priority? Obviously, we talked about fixing the budget, but what do you want to see come out of these early weeks of the session that gets underway next week?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to see the Commerce Authority be established by the legislature, so I'm hopeful that will happen right off the bat so that we can move forward so we can get our job creation and our economy turned around. Second, our budget needs to be really driven carefully and quickly and smoothly right off from the beginning, so that's very, very important. And if we can get those two or three things done, then we can move on to those other pressing issues that people are all concerned about. But
gotta go. Thank you, Governor, very much for being with us. We look forward to having you maybe as often as once a month here on the Buckmaster Show.
Well, that would be wonderful, Bill. And good luck and congratulations on your new radio program.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Caiaccio. There's a changing of the guard in Washington today. Republican John Boehner will take the Speaker's gavel from Nancy Pelosi when the new Congress convenes. The GOP will control the House for the first time in 4 years. This lady expects a lot of bickering between Republicans and Democrats.
The Republicans are trying to one-up the president and the Democrats on agenda. It's going to be gridlock.
Robert Gibbs is leaving the White House staff. Gibbs says he'll step down as press secretary after the State of the Union speech. Two new reports suggest the job market is getting better. One found private employers hired about 297,000 people last month. There are two lucky tickets out there from the $355 million Mega Millions drawing sold in Idaho and Washington. Bald guys might have hope. Researchers say a potential treatment could make use of stem cells to grow new hair. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Good news, ladies. Ugly brown spots on your skin might feel like they're the end of the world, but they're not. You can fade those brown spots from view with Dr. Perry's Night Skin Cream. New customers can try Night Skin Free. Diminish the appearance of brown spots on your face, neck, and hands. Try Night Skin Free. Call 1-800-509-4152. Pay only shipping and handling. One per household. Call for your free Night Skin. Call 1-800-509-4152. That's 1-800-509-4152.
Intuit Small Business presents Payroll Taxes in 30 Seconds. When quarterly taxes are due, Intuit Online Payroll reminds you. One click to start, a few more to approve and pay. We even fill out the forms. And we're done with seconds to spare, which gives me plenty of time to finish painting this lion's toenails. Good kitty. Try Intuit Online Payroll free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Coming up on 35 minutes past the hour and on the Buckmaster Show live line, we have U.S. Representative from the 7th Congressional District, Raul Grijalva, who will be sworn in just a few minutes at the Capitol. Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it very much. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, and it's good to talk to you, and congratulations on that being sworn in. Top priorities for this legislative session, we're hearing that the Republicans in Congress definitely want to repeal Obamacare. Does that seem to be at the top of their list, and what's at the top of your list?
Well, that seems to be the top issue according to their projections, that something they want to deal with on the 12th of January. Aside from that is the task that they've set before themselves of finding $100 billion in cuts in 20% of the federal budget, which is difficult to say the least. And I think many of us anticipate that as those cuts are announced or as they're dealt with, there's going to be a reaction on the part of many people, including many people in the district, as to how devastating they can be, considering what states, cities, and counties are going through right now with their own budget issues. You compound that with a 20% cut, let's say, in education, transportation, science, how much we depend on at the University of Arizona for research activities that are federal funded, Raytheon with all the work and contracts that they have. So we understand, I understand that that is something that we are going to have to insist that there be more transparency than just taking a hammer and a hatchet to the budget without consideration of what the investment impact is going to be back home. But the reality, Bill, is that we're in the minority, and my colleagues across the aisle have the votes. I hope that there is some bipartisanship and discussion, but we're really two philosophies are at stake here. The philosophy that I believe is important is the one that I support, is that government does have a role in the lives of people, and that role is to empower and protect the American people. And so that's going to be my litmus test as I look at the items that the Republican majority bring to the floor and bring for votes. That's what I'm going to look at. Is it empowering and protecting the American people in terms of investment and support? If it's not, then obviously I'm going to oppose that.
529-3508, 529-3508 for a quick question for Congressman Raul Grijalva, if any of the Buckmaster Show listeners would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
The battle is underway, Congressman. We just had Arizona's Governor Jan Brewer on the show, and I was asking her about this thing over citizenship, this proposal being unveiled today in Washington. She said she really didn't know enough about it to make a comment. What are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that it's coordinated. I think it involves 11 to 15 states, the initiative being the same, and it is basically dealing with the 14th Amendment and the issue of birthright and the issue to try to repeal that or change that. I'm sure there's going to be, at least in the House of Representatives, a legislative initiative trying to do that, codify that into federal law, and to challenge the constitutionality of the 14th Amendment and that has already been litigated in terms of birthright. It's unfortunately going to continue the divisiveness, continue the polarization that we've seen over, whether it's 1070 and other issues. I'm disappointed that we didn't, in a forthright way, deal with immigration reform. I don't think much will be seen other than these kinds of actions from this Congress, and that's unfortunate because this will continue to fester, and it'll continue to divide, and it'll continue to polarize our community, which is something I think for the long-term security of our community is something we really don't need.
Senator John McCain, one of your colleagues on the Arizona delegation, says he would support congressional work toward an overhaul of the immigration system once, quote, the borders have been secured.
Yeah, that's fine, and I appreciate that comment. And all I've ever asked of my friend the senator and Senator Kyle and others who purport that we must secure the border first is to give us the trigger mechanism by which that is going to occur. At what point? Because I really believe that unless you do a two-part issue and deal with the people that are here, who they are, and what process toward legalization is going to occur for them, the security issue is always going to be open-ended. So we're never going to have closure on a sealed, secure border. And if we don't have closure on that, then the rest of it doesn't get done. So I'd like to know what the incremental measurement is going to be for where we can move into that other step.
529-3508. You said, I read this recently, that the biggest mistake of your political career was calling for the boycott of Arizona. Did I get that right, or did the reporter who wrote that get that right?
No, I said it was I went against the advice of people because they said that it would have no effect. They were right, and it was a mistake in the sense that it didn't have the effect that I had hoped it would have in terms of changing minds or bringing people to the table, at least the state leadership, to try to deal with this issue and not make it what it became. It's unfortunate, but it didn't have the effect, and that's what I was trying to say.
You're known for a great sense of humor. Where does that come from? Were your parents funny?
I don't know.
People or what?
I think it's what's the word? It's most of the good humor is directed at me, And I think it's a probably a defense mechanism of some sort. But I think in this business, if you don't have a perspective on it in the business that I'm involved with, which is politics and policy, that if you don't have that as part of your arsenal, you're going to be miserable, because there are things that a good laugh can cure much better than sitting there and continuing to anguish about things.
Let's bring this back to Southern Arizona and the Rosemont Mine and any effort to have a national heritage area there along the Santa Cruz River. A lot of people feel very strongly about both of those issues. Where are we on those?
We're going to try again. The heritage areas, at least from my Republican colleagues, were always serious opposition. The best effort we had, my friend Senator Kyle removed it from the list of items that were done about 2 years ago, and that was unfortunate. But we'll try again. It has huge support. It's a great idea. It's good for the economy. It's good for all the businesses along that route, and I think it's something that would continue to preserve the heritage of the area, which is deep, and the cultural diversity is huge, and I think it is it's something that we need to preserve, and you know, there is no opposition to it. The opposition that we did have with some of the farming interests, that was taken care of. It's voluntary. There is no taking of private property. And you would have for 10 years a commitment on the part of the National Park Service for interpretation and preservation. It's a win-win-win. And we'll try again, and hopefully we'll get the help of our two senators this time and try to get this thing through.
What are your constituents saying about solar energy? Do you get a lot of response about that? What is the number one issue now that your constituents are asking you about?
It's the economy.
It is? What are they saying to you?
It's about jobs. It's about putting people to work. It's about, the security along the border. I think I get that a lot. And then I think another thing that's that comes up a lot in the district is the issue of education and the issue of the environment. They're not on the top-tier issues that people talk about via the media or any other discussion, but they're huge in the district, and people feel very strongly about those two issues. So those come up. But right now, quite frankly, it's about jobs and what we as a government are going to do to stimulate jobs and create jobs. Like I told you, that's going to be my litmus test, is that empower and protect people. Does it really get people jobs? Or the decisions we're going to make, are these tax cuts that are being proposed actually going to create jobs? Is repealing essential parts of health care going to create jobs? Is defunding training programs going to create jobs? That'll be the litmus test. If we protect and empower our constituents in my district, then I'm going to be all for it. If it doesn't, then I'll be part of a very loyal and hopefully effective opposition.
I don't think you. I mentioned also Rosemont.
Yes.
Are you against?
I was very
that
disappointed that the forest department went ahead and had consultations and meetings with representatives of the mine, and did not include the general public. I think they just created for themselves an additional hurdle and an additional point of litigation. That shouldn't have been done. We know that this is a contentious issue. I've been opposed to Rosemont, but the process requires transparency. And once the Forest Service did not provide the same level of information and consultation to the opposition, they open themselves up for not only the criticism, but potential litigation. This issue is Rosemont is about turning pristine public land into a waste dump. That's what it's about. I'm not quibbling over the private right that people have to mine there. That's their private property.
All right.
But to use the public's land as a dumping ground, I think is wrong.
Got to go. What's your New Year's resolution? Quick.
The same one I keep making over and over again. I'll defer. If you see a change in me, you'll see I'm keeping my promise.
Okay. Hope to have you on the show again very soon. Thank you. Looking forward to it. Congressman Raul Grijalva with us on the Buckmaster Show. Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall is scheduled to be next with us in studio.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator, artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website, sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
And we are back on the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on our website, World Wide Web, buckmastershow.com. Before we get to Barbara LaWall, I want to mention that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants. These are very good people, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, Flowers and Rieger CPA firm that we use here on the Buckmaster Show. We welcome now in this new year Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. I'm just delighted to be here, and this is a magnificent view of the Catalina Mountains. It's fabulous.
Kind of beats the basement where I was working. Didn't have a window for 23 years, that's for sure. It's nice
beautiful.
To have natural light coming in.
Congratulations on the show.
Thank you so much. I just asked Congressman Raul Grijalva if he had a New Year's resolution. Did you make one this year?
Well, I usually do. Do I have to reveal them to the public?
Yeah.
See, that's the interesting thing is about New Year's resolutions. Well, one of my big ones is to get more sleep. I tend to short myself on sleep.
Okay.
So that I'm working on getting to bed 15 minutes earlier every night, and so far I've been pretty good.
Trying to get 8 hours at least.
I'm trying.
Okay. Starting this month, a program that will be launched in Pima County to reduce the number of people addicted to drugs, lower the county's crime rate, and reap huge savings in terms of prison costs and human tragedy. That's a lot.
Those are awesome goals, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
What's this all about?
Well, I've been wanting to do this for a very, very long time. The interesting thing is when I first came to the county attorney's office, my job as a deputy county attorney was in the narcotic strike force. And so I got to see firsthand for 3 or 4 years as I prosecuted drug cases, some of the defendants who were addicted to drugs. They weren't narco traffickers. They weren't violent. They were just individuals who got hooked on heroin, cocaine, whatever the drug of du jour was. And they couldn't get out of that cycle of drugs. And they kept committing crimes, mostly possession of drugs, but sometimes sale of small amounts. And there was a program in Brooklyn that has been in existence for about 20 years. I'm very good friends with the DA there. His name is Joe Hines. And it's a program that has been studied by Columbia University and has produced incredible results. And
so Mr. Hines suggested this to you?
Well, he knew about it. Yeah, he featured it at a national conference.
Okay.
So I got to see what it was all about. And what it does is it takes individuals who are repeat offenders, who are headed to prison, and it diverts them from prison into drug treatment. Now, they plead guilty, so that's the sort of Damocles hanging over their head. You know, should they violate their conditions and, you know, not go through treatment, not successfully complete the program, then they actually are sentenced to prison because they're already convicted.
Now, how do you select these people?
Well, that's interesting. We just started doing that. We wrote up a set of criteria, and we are adhering to that. The first group, Bill, is going to be fairly small. We're going to do 20 this year, 30 the following year, and then 30 the next year, because that's all the funds that we have to be able to provide residential treatment and all the wraparound services that are needed. So the criteria are that they have to be arrested for a drug possession charge, and they have to be facing prison. We're looking for people, very honestly, who have some kind of a job or who are employed and who are motivated to seek treatment. And we're working hand in hand with a lot of different agencies. And adult probation has a risk assessment tool that they're using to make this determination. So they are doing their referrals, and the public defender, whom we're working very closely with, is doing referrals as well.
Yeah, the public defender seems to be on board on this.
We're all on board, and
yeah,
it's really nice. You know, you were just speaking with Congressman Grijalva, and he was talking about the divisiveness that is in Washington. It's very nice to be working in an adversarial situation where normally we're adversaries in court every day, but we are working hand in hand together with the courts, with the public defender, with adult probation, with lots of other social service agencies. We're all just doing this together, and that in and of itself is a very collaborative, cooperative effort that I'm very proud of.
What percentage of the caseload has some kind of drug connection now?
In my office, yeah, it's about 28% of the caseload. The interesting thing is in Arizona, Pima County has 15% of the population, but we prosecute 30% of the drug cases. So a significant portion of those are actually narco-traffickers, people involved in large-scale narcotics trafficking. Those aren't the people that we're dealing with here. So I really don't know what percentage of folks in my office meet this criteria, but I suspect it's going to be more than 20.
And you think it'll be cost-effective?
Well, it is cost-effective.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is it costs about $26,000 a year for somebody who's in low-level or medium-level security, such as a drug offender in prison. And it's going to be about $13,000 a year for residential treatment and all kinds of job training, literacy training, all kinds of wraparound services. So it's half the cost. So one of the little computations that I did is if you take a total of 20 individuals, and you multiply the cost that it costs to send them to prison over the average of about 2 years, is where drug offenders stay in prison, and then you take the cost of putting them in residential treatment, you're saving about $800,000 a year.
What was your reaction to that front page story in the Arizona Daily Star today that the chief judge of Arizona's federal courts has declared a judicial emergency over in federal court?
Well, it's interesting that you ask. I really don't know. The interesting thing is, you know, with that many prosecutors in the Tucson office, there's 61 of them, the filings that they're doing in federal court are significantly lower than the 50 prosecutors that I have in my office. So I don't know what their workload is like and what other things that they have. But
is there much interaction? Do you work with the feds much?
Well, we work with federal law enforcement, mm-hmm. but not a lot with the courts. In fact, virtually not at all with the courts. But I truly respect John Roll. And if he feels that there's an emergency, that there must be, you know, the thing that people forget is they also have a civil caseload. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what their civil caseload is like and how that balances out. But probably four judges is not enough.
Let's talk a little bit about the marijuana situation. I know that you were not very happy with that passing, but now what happens?
Well, you know, now I get on board because
You're on board. It's law. How does it affect the Pima County Attorney's Office?
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have to play that one out because all I can say is what has happened in other jurisdictions and what has been reported to me and what I've observed and what I've read about. And it's created some law enforcement problems, you know, in the areas where the dispensaries are. There has been reported increased crime, and some of that crime has been violent crime. There have been some murders, robberies, aggravated assaults, and then in the surrounding neighborhoods, there have been, you know, more burglaries and auto thefts, etc. I don't know whether or not it's directly related to the dispensaries, but you have to believe there's a cause and effect. The interesting thing that's going to happen in at least Pima County that's going to be really different than what occurred elsewhere is one of the things I'm proud of is that we got some very restrictive zoning regulations adopted by the city, the county, and the other incorporated towns as well. So there's not going to be dispensaries in residential neighborhoods. They won't be adjacent to schools and playgrounds. And these are things that concerned me the most. And so they're going to be in commercial areas. They're going to be isolated away from, you know, neighborhoods and communities. So I think that's really helpful.
I was talking with the sheriff, who will be on our program next week, and he's at a bit of a loss to figure out why the population of the jail is down. Do you have any ideas?
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
There's less law enforcement out on the streets. You know, the sheriff hasn't been able to have training academies. TPD has not had any. The other agencies, they aren't adding people. In fact, they've done some, I don't know if they've done layoffs, but they haven't filled positions through attrition. And so when you have less law enforcement, you're going to have less arrests. We're going to have less filings. You're just going to see all of that. There won't be less crime, though.
Okay, so you're not saying there's less bad guys necessarily out there.
There are just not enough people to catch them.
Okay, what's your top priority then for this new year? How's your budget look?
Oh, my budget's not looking good. We're going to take another little hit, another cut this next budget season. So, you know, one of the things that I've done, here's my top priority for my office, is to not have any furloughs and to not have layoffs. And so I've been managing our budget through attrition and just keeping a lot of positions open. I think people would rather pick up the extra workload than have to take a day off without pay.
Are you losing people still to Maricopa County, some prosecutors?
I've lost people to the feds. I've lost people to Maricopa. I've lost people to other agencies, and it's always an issue.
Okay, Barbara LaWall, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for coming in. Good luck with the program that I know you feel very passionate about, the trying to reduce the overall crime rate and this program that you spoke so eloquently about. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Barbara LaWall on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we have another great lineup of people. We have UA law professor and water expert, Dr. Robert Glennon. Southwest Books of the Year, 15 top picks. We will go over each of them. Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal advisor, will be with us as well tomorrow. That will do it. Bill Buckmaster wishing you a very good day.